Hello and welcome to the Business of Sustainability podcast, the latest show created in partnership with Future Plus and City AM. My name is Mike Penrose and I'm joined here by my co-host and fellow founder of Future Plus, Alex Smith. We have a very special episode today as we'll be introducing and discussing one of the most inspiring stories to come from the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. On February the 24th, 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine, and as of last September, there now are an estimated 3.7 million people internally displaced within Ukraine. Sergei Kovalchuk, founder of the Rydne Consortium, kindly joined us remotely from Ukraine to share his story. The Rydne Consortium is a group which brings together food and agricultural enterprises in order to develop humanitarian aid programs throughout Ukraine more effectively and supply the humanitarian need inside Ukraine using Ukrainian farming resources. Whilst tackling the countless challenges conflicts bring to humanitarian aid, the Rydne Consortium places sustainability as a priority and has asked Future Plus to help them with that. We hope you find Sergei's story and his work as inspiring as we do. Alex, just before we get started, you know, one of the things I'm really excited about, and I know you are, is, you know, talking and understanding about what Rydne Consortium in Ukraine is wanting to do and actually how they want to build sustainability into their processes and why. They first came to you, you know, what were their requests and what are they looking for?
Yeah, so we got an email from Sergei quite a few months ago now, and it was this beautifully written email which really piqued our interest, that sort of came into the sustainability group and to Future Plus, saying that he'd seen us and he'd seen some of the things that we'd been doing, explained the story, which he will go into to more detail about what he's doing in Ukraine, but that he wanted to do it sustainably and that he, you know, even at the very beginning stages, and hopefully you'll hear that come through when we speak to him, is that there was this huge amount of innovation and ambition in his language about he was solving this very particular problem, but he wanted to do it in the best way possible, and that he saw a future past where they were now. And so we immediately jumped onto a call with him, and we've been working with Rydne since. And I think, you know, they are a very special story about what businesses and organizations can do even under incredible circumstances, and the care and the attention that he takes when looking at the supply chain and the people that are involved in it. He cares about the soil health and the, you know, what's growing on, and that it really is at the heart of everything that they're doing. But yeah, you mean you've spent some time in Ukraine, Mike, recently. So, I mean, it may be worth you speaking a little bit to actually what it's like on the ground and the humanitarian work that's going on there at the moment.
Yeah, the thing I find most inspiring about Rydne is, you know, I've spent most of my life, as you know, in humanitarian conflict scenarios, and that was my career for a very long time. And so often, the assumption of people outside is that we need to send them commodities, send them goods that people need, our food, our canned goods, etc. And it's all done in a very well-meaning way. But what Sergei's really seen and identified is that countries can be self-sufficient and they can do so in a really positive and sustainable way, even in the most difficult circumstances. And Nicola, when you get close to the front line, Ukraine is one of the most difficult wars I think I've seen in 28 years. It's extremely hard. But they're solving Ukrainian problems, using Ukrainian resources, in creating jobs in Ukraine, and actually, as you say, building the foundations for the future. And I think the thing I find most inspiring is Sergei and his team are now thinking about sustainability. They're thinking about the environment for the next generation of Ukraine beyond the war. And to be frank, if he can do it, you know, let's face it, no one in the UK or in Europe or anywhere that's not in the situation Ukraine is has any excuse for not thinking about it. So we'll go to Sergei now, speak to him, and I think we're all fascinated to find out what he says.
Yeah, thank you, Mike and Alex. So it's very nice to be here today with you. So just to be in short, so about Rydne Consortium, Rydne Food Consortium. So it was started in March 2022. So the war started in February, and we started our consortium in March, so in the end of March, approximately. And what is Rydne? Rydne is a union of approximately 30 farmers and small and medium farmers and 16 food factories. So it's a union of those companies and organizations. So what's the aim of such union? The aim is to supply food effectively and operatively to humanitarian organizations that are now working in Ukraine and helping the frontline, helping internally displaced people and other categories of vulnerable population. So when the war started, those organizations, they needed operative supply of food. And you see that there were a lot of challenges in supplies, in electricity, in logistics, etc. So our aim was to make everything operatively, effectively, to produce quality food, and to supply it effectively. So that was the aim, and that's how we continue right now. So we developed this consortium, we continue our work. So that's just in general.
I think just from a context point of view, and really interesting, you know, as you know, I've worked in Ukraine as well, to understand that the scale of agriculture in Ukraine, for even people who come from, you know, the UK or France or etc., I found breathtaking. Mm-hmm. It is such a huge country.
Yeah.
And almost the entire center of the country is taken over with, you know, fields that will be the size of cities in the UK.
Yeah.
Of grain. Yeah. And etc. So I think, you know, that was what really impressed me, was the scale of it. But what are some of the challenges that you face in terms of, you know, agricultural production in such an agriculturally rich country at the moment?
Mm-hmm. You see that the biggest challenge indeed, and probably as you know, is the export of grain from Ukraine. The export and the cost. The biggest issue is export, and that's how actually the Rivne Consortium began. Because you see, our company initially, we, before the war, we dealt with the fertilizers. So we imported fertilizers from the US and distributed them to small, medium farmers in Ukraine and agricultural holdings. And you see, when the war began, the Black Sea port and the Black Sea export was complicated, and farmers, they didn't know what to do with their grain, you see, because on land logistics was quite hard to develop and was quite hard to implement. And indeed, such volumes won't be covered, like to export with a sea. And we helped, so we exchanged our fertilizers for grain. And you see, so it helped also farmers to get fertilizers, and it helped them to unload their elevators and to unload their warehouses. And what we did with this grain, we took from farmers wheat, barley, peas, and sunflowers. And what we did with this grain, we started our two food factories, that weren't working from Soviet Union. And we started to make from wheat, wheat flour and pasta, from peas, so dry pea, etc. So that's how we started, and that's how the consortium and our food production started. So starting with this biggest challenge for agriculture, because our farmers now, even they have low arithmetics in terms of income, because they receive less per hectare, and now we are thinking how to diverse the logistics and the export. So export is the biggest challenge now.
And to give some context, we've been working with you guys for a few months now, and it would be really incredible to understand why you reached out, why sustainability has been important in this entire process and the decision making that you're doing in all of these processes. And I'm sure we'll get more into, you know, you really are throughout the whole supply chain at each point. And I think that unto itself is a really interesting story. But can you give us a little bit of background on why it's been such a priority for you and for Ridna when you're, you know, living in very real realities at the moment with many other priorities, as you say, around blockades and being in a war zone, all of these other things. How does sustainability fit into that for you?
So you see, Alex, so we in Ukraine, we see that anyway, our legislation and economy is going to Europe. You see, to Europe, to Western standards, to Western legislation, etc. And we see, based on our experience, how sustainable growth and sustainable principles are important for any production. For farming, for food production, for mining, etc., for different sectors of economy. So we realize that anyway, this is our future. So the future of any respectable company, the future of any company who want to produce quality product. Anyway, so and as soon as we started, as quick so we will receive some results. You see, because for Ukraine, as I told you earlier, so it's probably hard to understand for 90% of population what is sustainable development. But we want to be first in this. We want to show by our example what it is. And as sooner we begin, the quicker we'll have some results, and the war shouldn't be an obstacle for us, because anyway we need to develop our economy, and anyway, so if we want to succeed in this war, if we want to be a successful country, if we want to have a strong economy, anyway, we need to develop, we don't need to stand on one point. You see, we need to think in a long perspective. So that was the motive of our decision, and that we need to develop our economy and our production, actually, according to those standards.
And I think, Sergey, you mentioned something really interesting there about, you know, planning for the long term and being in a position to help rebuild the Ukrainian economy as soon as the war is over, but also during a period of conflict. Mm-hmm. Also, I think it'd be really interesting. We've been very impressed in how also your services at the moment are helping those most affected by conflict in Ukraine at the moment, and what your focus is internally, how you're supporting the Ukrainian agricultural system, but also how you're supporting, you know, displaced people and people affected directly by the war at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So you see that's like we talked about the final chain of our system and of our work is like a vulnerable population of Ukraine now. So it's IDPs, so people with the disabilities, etc. So this cooperation with the humanitarian organizations and with the private funds, so it's extremely important for us now, for our farmers, for our food factories, because due to additional problems with export, so now the biggest solution for us is to process the grain inside the country, so to create food products inside the country and to sell this food, you see, and to sell this food and to so in our case to sell this food to humanitarian organizations. So for humanitarian organizations it is a double advantage, because first of all they are helping people in need, people who suffer from hunger, and on the other hand they are helping our economy, you see, because they are buying our food, they are buying in terms of our consortium, so they even finance our farmers. So this is how our consortium works, you see. So we plan with our farmers how much grain they need to grow. We finance those farmers. They grow a grain for us. They then move this grain to our food factories. So in this case, so humanitarian organization and funds, they fund the whole, like we call, ecosystem. Ecosystem began with the seed, ending with the final food product that they receive in a food parcel. So you see that's a massive support and a massive thing, not only for vulnerable people, but for all our economy. You see, in other case, there are probably 7 million people that flew out Ukraine. So to other countries of Europe, like Poland, Germany, Great Britain, etc. So you can understand that it's 7 million people less that would buy food products in the country. So in the case of a commercial situation of selling food products.
And within that, you're saying that they're supporting the displaced and the people internally, but what type of support are you giving also to farmers to be able to do this, to get their production back on track?
Mm-hmm. So you see, it's for the farmers. So so the bank system now in Ukraine is very weak. So the bank system, so very high rates for the credits, etc. For a farmer to receive some financial support for buying seeds, for buying fertilizers, it's already a massive thing. You see, and to get it without a percentage, additional percentage for those services. So in terms of some organizations, humanitarian and funds, we receive a prepayment for our food. And it allows us to finance farmers before the yield now. Mm-hmm. For example, now we are not before the yield, but before the planting. Mm-hmm. So now we have financed farmers, and now farmers now are buying already bought seeds, and now farmers can plant wheat, barley, etc. So you see, it's first thing that they have resources to plant. Second is that they can plant crops that we can tell them to plant, because for example, wheat is not so is not so profitable now in Ukraine. Wheat, barley, etc. So farmer will rather plant rapeseed or mm-hmm. sunflower, because it's more profitable, it's more efficient, it's more effective in terms of logistics, etc. But it's bad for the soil, it's bad for the infrastructure of Ukraine, etc. But we are telling that you have to plant wheat, you have to plant barley, you have to plant, for example, peas. They are doing so because they are receiving from us seeds, they are receiving from us fertilizers, etc. So that's also a big issue of such cooperation. So, and a big support for our farmers.
Are you finding that sort of overarching support from those partnerships, which are clearly very crucial through humanitarian organizations and NGOs, allow you to not just look at the social impact, but as you were saying, around the sort of climatic and environment as well, how you're transporting it, how you're growing it, what you're growing, as you're saying, the health of the soil, but that I'm assuming those partnerships really give you the underpinning foundations to then be able to look at that throughout that process as well?
I think yes. So we are explaining to all partners that we work with. So we explain this. For example, $1 or €1 is not only going to helping people directly, but also helps to develop our economy, helping farmers, helping food factories, and we explain all those issues additionally. So yes.
And I think that's as Alex was saying, this is from a sustainability standpoint, if you're looking long term at you know, how you maintain the health of the agricultural sector, that concept of maintaining crop rotation, of healthy soil, of not much use of nitrate fertilizer, and more natural efforts in terms of maintaining it, will be essential for the long-term viability of the Ukrainian agricultural sector, which is by far the largest part of the economy.
Yeah, exactly, Mike. Exactly. And so crop rotation is crucial. And like I told you, so the wheat, for example, is disappearing from Ukraine because it's not profitable. So as well as barley and other crops. So also to the question how we began with sustainability, also because it happened that before the war started, so we were familiar with it on the sides of inhibitors, so that help apply less nitrogen fertilizers. So, and it happened that we were quite familiar with this side of one point of sustainability. So, and it helps us also to see the picture more widely in terms of sustainability and why it is needed for us, etc. So that's like an addition to your previous questions.
And I think just a comment on my side before Alex asks the next question, but for me, that's such a huge thing from a broader sustainability perspective, because not only does nitrogen fertilizer not necessarily encourage the long-term sustainability of the soil that you're growing in, but it consumes huge amounts of carbon in its production. So where it's made is really carbon intensive, and how it's made is really carbon intensive, and then the effect it has on the soil is not necessarily good for the longer term when you compared to better use of crop rotations, better use of sort of layered agriculture, and more biodiversity methods. So I think already having been looking at that, and now looking at how you roll that out, even where for some the priority of wartime production might overtake it, is really progressive, and the type of innovation that I think comes from these type of environments. But just a really interesting comment I think you were using there or saying there.
Yeah, especially for anhydrous ammonia. So in Europe it is less applied, mostly urea and UAN, but in Ukraine it's very popular. It's extremely popular in anhydrous ammonia, and it's applied a lot. And so we encourage our farmers, and they are applying anhydrous only with inhibitors. So that's, we were first in Ukraine who applied this technology, so with the additional equipment. And anhydrous, which is mostly harmful, for example, for the soil, so it's applied only with inhibitors. So that's also a big issue in our consortium now.
Absolutely.
That innovation that you talk about is so important in that process. And I suppose a big question is, what do you see as the near and the medium future for Ridner? Where do you want it to go for the food consortium? And how do you see that building with that sort of innovative streak running through it over the next months and years?
So you see, Alex, so probably I can start. The trademark Ridner, it's also started in March 2022. So exactly when our consortium started. And Ridna in Ukrainian means, it can't be translated with one word. So, but probably the closest will be some close to a heart, close to motherland or something like this. So it means Ridna. And we wrote it not with our letters, but with the Latin letters. So it's written in Ukrainian. So that also means our vector that we choose in our development. So you see, and we, in terms of long perspective, we are aimed on developing our consortium. Developing those chains to make them more effective, to make them work more effectively. So in terms of like one mechanism to make the consortium more to make our consortium sustainable with your help and with your guidance. And you see, with our consortium development, so we see ourselves probably on other markets as well, both in a commercial way or as well in a humanitarian way. So you see, with the organizations that we work, so we emphasize that it is extremely important now for Ukraine to export not only grain, but other processed products as well. So because it creates additional value for our economy, so more taxes, they stay in Ukraine due to more processed products and more processed things. And we see ourselves on different markets, and we encourage also, and we are in the negotiations with the different now NGOs to attract us as a supplier to some African countries as well, as a supplier of food products. So probably also indeed there's two sides of this medal, because you see, African countries, they need their products as well to be included into food parcels. But there are some positions, for example, that we can combine and to take some African-made products and Ukrainian-made products, like to make a combination. So you see, our perspectives are to be represented in European markets, and probably US market in a commercial way of a trademark, and in a humanitarian way, so attracted to other humanitarian missions of organizations that we work with. So that's
a good having been involved in aid work for a long time, one of the really good things, people are often looking at ways to help, and you know, one of the things it's really important to say to people is it's not just about giving. It's, you know, we always say buy British, or in America, buy America, or in France, buy French.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you really want to help Ukraine, buy Ukrainian, because it helps the local economy, it helps create employment, it helps local agriculture, as you've just described, and it helps the entire progress of the nation.
Yeah, but exactly.
No, carry on.
Yeah. That's totally sure.
And I think, you know, what one thing our listeners are probably very interested in hearing, because you know, it's very difficult to gauge that when you're just watching the news or only hearing about Ukraine. But what are some of the challenges you're finding you're facing now because of the conflict? Working in Ukraine on a day-to-day basis, what are the challenges you face in terms of the food sourcing, production, transport, and then obviously the sale?
So you see, Mike, I will probably divide this question on two sides. One side is like personal side, individual side, and another thing is like on the side of economy and etc. So indeed, on a personal side, we all see how people in Ukraine are stressed because of war, and stressed because of the situation, etc. So we see how it also reflects, how it gives a reflection on every day and every work that we do. So it's also influences. So probably there are people that do not feel actually this directly, but anyway, it reflects your daily work, your daily routine, of every people in Ukraine. So it affects your working capabilities, your efficiency, etc. So that's one thing. Another and the challenge actually. Another thing, and it happens actually not only in the regions affected by the war, but all over Ukraine. So because all people that are now in Ukraine, so they are affected more or less with this war that we have now. Another thing indeed is economical things. So, for example, like last winter, we had a dramatic situation with the electricity on all our industry plants and factories. There were time when we didn't have electricity for several weeks, etc. And it was a real challenge because we had to deal with plans of deliveries, of food deliveries, and we managed it. We managed it because that's with the help of our consortium. So that's another thing is problems with electricity. With also another problem is indeed mobilization. Mobilization because a lot of men are taken to the front line. And especially they're taken from small towns and villages, also where our food factories are located. So this affects dramatically because on some food factories, we have to find additional carriers, additional cargo drivers, additional drivers for trucks, etc. Farmers need to hire more harvest drivers, more planters drivers, etc. So now even there's a trend that there are more women drivers, harvester drivers, women planters drivers, women, etc. So probably those are biggest challenges, and indeed one of the biggest challenges is overall the bad economy situation. So you see, and it reflects the private sector as well, because so less people are less buying, so people are less capable to buy. So it reflects dramatically also the situation. And that's not mentioning about our state problems in terms of state agencies, state services, etc. So that's another long story.
Absolutely.
I think you've painted quite an incredible picture there of the challenges that you face and sort of day-to-day realities, and those, you know, how you innovate in that long-term situation is, you know, incredible. And it's really interesting to watch the work that you're doing and to help be part of that. And I think bringing that to life in this conversation has been incredibly helpful. Is there anything that, you know, as Mike said, buy Ukrainian is one sort of thing that people can do as and when they do it. Is there any other sort of ways that people who are listening can potentially support your work or help with some of those issues that you mentioned? Obviously, they're fairly major, but is there anything that, you know, you can put out there?
Well, Alex, so it's indeed we feel this incredible support from Great Britain, all people that are in Great Britain, in the whole Europe, in the United States, other countries. So the support is incredible. And you see, and all our work actually based on support anyway with the Western organizations and Western people, individuals, etc. So in this way, so it gives us unique opportunity to continue to work. And probably if this support continues, and if this support modernizes in the support for our economy, probably this will be the thing that is very badly needed now for Ukraine. So probably like this.
Brilliant. Well, Sergey, we will continue to try to champion what you're doing. I think as we always talk about in the office, we're pretty sure you're our favorite client at the moment amongst the hundreds we work with. We think you're doing an amazing job. And thank you very much for all you're doing in Ukraine and for speaking to us today. Dziękuję. And I hope to speak to you soon. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mike and Alex. And thank you to you and to your support. And I think together we will manage with everything.
Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for. A big thank you to Sergey for joining us and giving us an insight into his fantastic projects. If you'd like to find out more about the RIDNE Consortium or Future Plus, please visit the links in the description below. And also please remember to hit the subscribe button for future episodes.